1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm joined by this gentleman, Chris. Are you there?
I'm right here, Phil. I'm at the film distribution center where I'm trying to get copies of the videotape made right now, and I'm waiting for you to put me on the air.
No, you're on the air right now.
Oh, all right.
And you are talking about Colin Farrell having a videotape in his possession that has eventually made it to, or not in his possession, I guess.
No, it was in the possession of this model. She was a Playboy bunny, an African-American Playboy Playmate of the Year, and also a bunny. I think she's a bunny of the year, or I don't even know if they have bunny of the year or not.
Well, what do you mean a bunny of the year? I think bunnies were nothing more than, well, I shouldn't say nothing more than, but weren't bunnies cocktail waitresses, pretty much?
I don't know. I think bunnies, if you're a bunny of the year, you're on the cover of the magazine, I thought.
No, I thought that was Playmate.
Yeah, but isn't that, in other words, you're a bunny who's also, you're a Playmate because you're a hot bunny, is what I thought.
No, okay, her name is what?
Her name is Nicole Narain, and she's very, very hot. And anyway, her and Colin Farrell allegedly, and I'm saying allegedly because there's really no proof, had touching. Or I mean, they had sex. They had. It was a sex. But I'm sure.
Did they have sex?
Yeah, they had sex, and so she got the videotape of them having the sex, and then it came up on the internet. And my point is that I had sex with her about the same time, and Colin Farrell's depriving me of making a living on account of he's more famous, but not necessarily sexier. In fact, I know he's not sexier than me. And if people see the videotape that I made with her, they will definitely want to download that. But I can't get it out there, and I'm having copies made right now.
You know, if you go on the internet, you don't have to have copies made, man. Just post it on one of those. By the way, you say you had sex with a Playboy Playmate, and you videotaped it.
Yeah.
And this is the same woman that Colin Farrell had sex with.
Yeah, exact same woman.
How do you know?
Because I know. How do I know? I mean, she was African American and was hot. And,
well, that pretty much describes a lot of women.
Well, no, I know it was her because I had tried to gain access to the Playboy. Well, I did. I was going to gain access to the Playboy Mansion, but the guys who guard the gate there they get intimidated if you're, you know, hot, so they don't let you in. So I waited outside. I followed her to a club. And then we had sex later on.
All right, so now you had sex with this Nicole Narain. You have the videotape, but no one's interested in downloading it.
Nobody's interested in downloading it, no. And the reason is on account of Colin Farrell being more famous. So my allegation is that he's depriving me of making a living with this tape I got of the bunny. And I'm trying to tell you that if you see me in action with Nicole Narain, you'll never care about Colin Farrell.
Well, no one is looking at this tape, man, to see either Colin Farrell or you, I would imagine, if you have a tape.
No, it's not if. It's when. You know?
All right. It's not if, it's when. All right, if you are...
I did.
Okay, if you have this tape of you and this woman and Colin Farrell, nobody's looking at the tape for you guys.
Well, I'm assuming you're talking. So, who are you talking about then?
I'm talking about her. I'm talking. Yeah. Oh, they're looking at her, man. She's the Playboy Playmate of the year, or the week, or that.
Well, she's a bunny. I think she's a bunny of the week. That's
whatever. It was a bunny or a playmate, man. She's the one that they're looking at. She's beautiful. She was featured in the magazine. Colin Farrell happens to have a tape of, or she has a tape of him and her, and
yeah, and she's selling it. And
well, why don't you go after her?
Because
if you know her, you could call her up and say, "Hey, look, why don't you forget about the Colin Farrell tape? Why don't you put the tape out of you and me?"
Because she, well, I get right now. Her answer machine's got to be broke because
you've called and she hasn't returned your calls.
Yeah, but The point that I'm trying to make, Mr. Henry, is the zest that I had with Nicole Nairn is so hot that you will forget that she's even in the tape.
And you're telling me that you are the one.
Yeah, that's the thing of the thing that I'm trying to tell you. I'm so hot that when you see the videotape of me and her having sex, and it's pretty intense sexuality, you won't even care about her.
Even if I'm a dude.
Well, I'm not looking for dudes to look at it. I'm just looking for chicks to
that. Look at women are not going to look at this tape. It doesn't seem like it's up their alley unless it's something that.
Well, you say up their alley, isn't that sexual?
What is?
The comments up your alley. Because
look at man, here it is. If you're looking, if you're lunching at your cubicle or desk, please put down the sandwich before reading on. I don't know. This is the article that I'm looking at here from whatever it is, Smoking Gun. Former Playmate girlfriend Nicole Nairn has a tape of her and Colin Farrell in alleged sexual sex tape fashion. The sellers are supposedly looking for a 7-figure upfront fee to hand over the tape for release by a distributor. Even if someone was willing to pony up the money to look at the alleged sexual sex tape style action, they couldn't release it without Farrell's permission.
That's exactly right. So I'm saying I'll release the tape of me and her. And she's got my permission. And if she won't take my calls, I'm hoping if she's listening right now, Ms. Nairn, you have permission to release the tape of me having sass with you, which you're also on it. And also, before you do, though, I want to know if there's any copies, because I don't have any. So
you don't have any copies of the tape?
No, I don't.
How does she have a copy of the tape?
Because I set the camera and started rolling, and then when I woke up, it was gone. She was gone, and it was gone. So I'm assuming she's got it.
Oh, will you get out of here, man?
No, I swear to God, Mr. Henry, please. If you just keep on the line, I just want to let her know. And also, I want to audition for Celebrity Who's Your Daddy, because...
Oh, get out of here. Celebrity Who's Your Daddy. Hey, you know, Mr. Henry, I got a videotape of myself with Nicole Nairn, and if you see this tape, you won't even notice she's on it because I'm so hot. 1-800-449-8686. Later on tonight on the Phil Henry Show, we'll be talking with Mr. Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods, on enjoying your job, but don't enjoy it too much. That's suspicious to your boss. And we'll also be looking at some email and mentioning a couple of other things, including the sale of our Best Of CD, which is now reaching the $100,000 mark in sale. And we really appreciate that. If you'd like a copy of the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2005 CD, Are You For Real? Go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And coming up tonight, Robert Green from Fraser Foods on employee-employer relationships. You know, the guy is the man for one reason. He's smart. You aren't. Don't act too enthusiastic. He'll just think you're trying to take his job. Don't try to butt kiss. He sees right through it. Robert Green will help you, the employer, the employee, and all of us. You know, he'll help us all keep our jobs. Which God knows these days, it's a crapshoot, baby. Every time you walk into work, you don't know what's going to happen, do you? A lot of you cats maybe have some seniority. Some people, you know, have jobs where they, you can't be fired without a major review, say, from the union, and people have contracts and so on and so forth. And some people are on day-to-day, and like me, for instance. Although if they were to can me, they'd have to pay me until I'm a 98. And so I think I'm pretty well taken care of. But in any event, Robert will talk about that and, you know, what you can do to protect yourself or not, as the case may be, coming up on the Phil Henry Show. And if you go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, on the homepage, you'll notice a picture from our listener, Laura. Laura is a teacher in Japan. And last night I read her email. She was asking about, did I get the pictures that she sent? And I said on the air, no, I did not. So I guess she heard us. She sent us several pictures of some trip she took on the rivers of the Mekong. She took it on the Mekong River. And the Mekong River runs through Southeast Asia, Vietnam, and Laos. And it probably is a name that rings a bell with people who were around during the Vietnam War, because you always heard about the Mekong Delta. The Mekong Delta. Fighting broke out on the Mekong Delta day. Several Marines in the Mekong Delta, you know. Well, she was on the upper Mekong River in Laos, and she's got this picture on the webpage. It's very interesting. And it shows this village. And she says, that's the biggest town that I came across in my travels up the Mekong. The what? Okay. Well, we'll take some calls in a minute, bud. Don't go waving your hands frantically. I'll get to the phone calls in a second, all right? So she said that there is that picture of this village, and then there was a boat she was on. Some people, man, they don't mind traveling, not first or second or third class. They don't mind traveling steerage, dude. The boat she was on was some weird-looking submarine-shaped blue. Think of a submarine with no conning tower, blue, and only about 2 feet wide. And there's a motorcycle on top of this thing. You know, all of your stuff is strapped on top. So the other thing that's really whack, if you've ever traveled to the Far East, the first thing you'll notice, besides a lot of stuff, but the first thing you notice is the boats on the water have got weird-looking sails. You know how here in the West the sails are all triangular? Over there you look out and suddenly there's like these square sails everywhere. And you realize, dun-dun-dun, the sand pebbles, you know. Some dude there with something around his head and a machete. Is this Lloyd? Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I'm calling about the picture on your homepage, Mr. Henry, that you directed people to. That is a photograph of a village in Vietnam. Now, I was in the Korean War, and I will tell you that if we'd been on a river, and I was in the United States Navy.
Yeah.
If we had been on a river, traveling by a village such as that, you would expect to receive hostile fire from that village. And so you would always be aware of that. And I'm wondering if the young lady had, or if you know anything about that.
The, excuse me, the young lady that took the picture?
What are you, gagging or something?
I just coughed a little bit, okay? I've got an allergy. The young lady who took the picture, and she what?
Did the young lady, was she aware that the possibility of receiving hostile fire under that circumstance?
That's a freaking, the war's over there.
Is that right, huh? So you know all about it, huh?
Look at, sir, she's in the upper Mekong River. And
she's in Laos. She's in a hotbed of communist and Khmer Rouge activity and traveling down a river on a boat, and you're going by these mud huts, and I will tell you, I would not stand out there with my rear end hanging in the breeze, and I'm wondering if she did.
Well, the woman obviously had to be present on the deck of the ship or the boat or whatever it was to take the pictures.
All right. Was there any blow dart activity? I would like to ask at this time.
What?
Was there any blow dart activity? I'm trying to determine.
Blow dart activity? Are you talking about those?
I'm talking about those guys with the painted faces and the fright wigs that blow darts through the bamboo shoots. Jesus. You don't know anything about that.
You mean those cats that were in Apocalypse Now that they,
What?
In Apocalypse Now, those guys were shooting darts?
What? I don't know anything about your apocalypse. I'm talking about blow dart activity and unnatural spear activity. Was there any spear? Did anyone take a spear to the? In other words, if you look.
What are you talking about, man? The lady was on a vacation.
Yeah.
She was on a vacation. She was on a boat trip up the upper Mekong River. And
well, you know, you can take all the vacations you want, but at the end of the day, you step off of that boat, and you've got some kind of a Ubangi spear running right to the middle of your ribcage, friend. And that's the last vacation you take on that river.
And a spear through the middle of your ribcage sounds to me like you've watched a movie called...
I didn't watch any movies, my friend. I was in the United States Navy in Korea. And
well, let me ask you a question about that. Korea, as far as I know, is way up north near China, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. What has that got to do with blow darts, spears, and some cat in a fright wig with war paint?
Hey, why don't I? Yeah, let me tell you something. Those Koreans, boy, oh, boy. Ooh, man, you really show your ignorance, don't you? No.
I really want to know. Do they have blow darts up there in Korea?
When the Chinese hit us at the 48th parallel, Mr. Henry, I was on a ship, and they were just serving breakfast when I got the news.
When the Chinese hit us, you were on a ship, and they were serving breakfast.
Let me tell you something, friend. I was in charge of rolling depth charges. We rolled about 6 or 7 depth charges on a North Korean submarine, and one of those depth charges rolled right across my foot, and I lost a toe. I got a Purple Heart. Have you ever had a depth charge roll across your foot? No, I don't think you have. Well, friend, it doesn't feel good. And I went back down, and they bandaged me up and everything. And
all right, but anyway, when the Chinese hit us at the 48th parallel, you were summed out. You were having breakfast on your ship.
Yeah, and they came at us with everything but a kitchen sink. They came at us with the Chinese rifle, the Russian rifles. A lot of them used slingshots, if you can believe that. A lot of them were coming at us with just their bad looks, enough to scare you, enough to make you turn tail and run, and they would come at. So I would not doubt that they donned some kind of a Don King wig and tried to.
If you don't have any personal information about this, then I would not be talking about it.
Well, I was in Korea, sir.
You were in a boat outside of Korea. What do you mean the Chinese put on a Don King fright wig? It's a whole different area, man. It's a whole.
Okay, man. You know, you sound like my son. My son, who died in Vietnam, you sound just like him.
I'm sorry to hear that your son lost his life in Vietnam.
Well, you know something? He was stupid, too. And
I don't think that's a way to talk about a young man who gave his life for his country.
And let me tell you something. This guy was the dumbest SOB. He might even have been dumber than some of the things I hear you say on your broadcast. And
you're talking about your son who died in Vietnam? How did he die?
Hey, you want to hear the story?
Yes.
This jackass, he gets a North Vietnamese potato masher hand grenade. You know what they call a potato masher?
Because it looks like a potato masher, like a German grenade?
No, sir. It was North Vietnamese.
All right. So it looks like a potato masher.
That's right. They got an NVA potato masher grenade that threw it in the middle of a group of guys on patrol. And this dumbass jumps on it and covers it with his body, blows him half to hell and then back again. Yeah, what do you think of that?
He saved the lives of the men on his patrol?
Oh, yeah, but look, how stupid have you got to be, though? You're going to jump on a hand grenade and blow yourself halfway to hell, then get yourself a ticket punched and come on back from hell? Because that's what he did. This dumbass did.
Why would you call your son who saved the lives of his comrades a dumbass?
Let me ask you something. You think suicide is some kind of a genius move?
Well, the guy acted on instinct. He acted.
Yeah, act on instinct and get your ass full of shrapnel. Get your ass full of grenade. This dummy, and you know what? His picture's on our mantle, and every day I walk by it, and I look at it, and I go, "How you doing, stupid?" And I'll go in and get myself a glass of skim milk. And I'll tell you something else, Miss.
I think you're speaking in a very, very disparaging way about a son who fought for his country, died for the safety of the.
Oh, why don't you save it for the Little Lulu comic books, Mr. Henry?
The Little Lulu comic. Well, let's answer your question. Let me ask you, did you love your son?
Of course I love my son. I wish he was with me today. That's why him jumping on a hand grenade and getting an ass full of grenade was the dumbest thing this guy could have done, short of re-enlisting. Well, I guess he didn't do that. You want to know why? Because he got blown halfway to hell. And
then he got his ticket punched and came back from hell. What do you think, the road to hell is a toll road?
Let me tell you something, friend. It could very well be.
And so, well, thanks for your call.
Are you hanging up?
Yeah, I'm hanging up. Goodbye. My son got himself blown halfway to hell, got the ticket punched, and came back from hell. It's terrible. Young son is a hero. And on top of everything else, how do I know whether that listener of mine, Laura, got hit with blow dart activity? The woman's on the Mekong River. She's in Laos. You can see the picture there on our website. And it's just a bunch of mud huts, and it's a whole kooky thing, man. You know, you go to Vietnam, it looks like, to me, it looks just like Fiji. 1-800-449-8686, Robert Greene coming up. Our souvenir shop, by the way, has a brand new item that I must tell you about, and that's the brand new Bobby Dooley Spa T-shirt. Now, we've often had a lot of women complaining that, you know what, you don't really have any stuff for chicks. Well, yes, we do. The fact is the women just don't even look for it. But what we do have now is a new item, the Bobby Dooley Spa shirt. It says Deo Spa, has Bobby's name on it, says rich, waxed, and relaxed. Now, why wouldn't you want to wear that? Walk around with that on, rich, waxed, and relaxed. It's got some woman standing there celebrating the sun with two conga drums and a couple of palm trees. That's you, baby. Or it's someone you know. Visit our website, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We're going to be reading a story about Goose Gossage, the New York Yankee pitcher who did not make it to the Hall of Fame, who was very vocal about his disappointment with not making it to the Hall of Fame, just as soon as it prints out. But the printer that I have in this room right now is, if a piece of paper goes into it that has just maybe a little, like, centimeters worth of a crinkle, the whole thing shuts down. It's got to be paper that is fresh off the paper mill, man. It's got to come right out of Green Bay, right into your house. Flat, perfectly. It's like those dollar bill machines. You know, you go get a Coke. Let me tell you something, man. You better iron your dollar bills before you even think about sticking one into one of them Coke machines. You better iron it and starch it so that the thing's like a piece of wood. Stick it in there, and then maybe, if you'll pardon the expression, stick it in there. All right, anyway, time now for some email. Hey, Phil, just wondering what a typical workday is like for you. How long does it take to prep a show? How scripted is each bit? Do you have to drive Bud to work every day? And when you do, who gets to decide what music to play on a Marconi? Hoping to glimpse the man behind the curtain, Josh. Well, Josh, some days it takes us 3 hours to prep the show. Years and years and years of hard work and prepping the show for 3 or 4 hours has taught me something. Sometimes coming to work early doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get the best material. I do most of my prep in the car when I'm driving to work, and then I come in and then I rough it out on paper. And sometimes we'll do a bit and we'll say, you know what, we should have done it this way, so we'll, you know, we'll be disappointed and maybe wait 6-7 months and try to do the bit again with a little twist on it. See, how long does it take to prep a show? How scripted is each bit? I actually used to tell people that I bullet point, but I actually, when I'm writing the bit, I find myself writing a script, although I don't stick to it because you can't. It's impossible to stick to a script and have the material really play out, I guess, or come alive. So I actually write out a script, and I don't drive Bud to work at all. He has a motorcycle he drives. He's got a Harley Davidson. What is it, Bud?
Softail.
Softail. And anyway, that's what he does, man. So that's the man behind a curtain, dude. Thanks for writing, and thanks for caring. We love you. Hey, Phil, just wondering, are you a bit of an Ozzy Osbourne fan? I myself, being one of Ozzy's biggest fans, have noticed that going to and from commercials, you often play Ozzy tunes. And the other night, when answering an email regarding your previous NBC pilots, Bud mentioned that, according to him, the show Phil Hendry was originally called Randy Rhodes, which, of course, was the name of Ozzy's original guitar player. Thanks a lot. Love the show. Sincerely, Shane in Maine. Actually, Randy Rhodes is the name of a talk show host on Air America. Thank you so very deeply. Well, yeah, Ozzy Osbourne fan? Sorta. Although I have to tell you, when Black Sabbath originally came out, I was a bit of an elitist. I thought Led Zeppelin was the band, and all those other bands that tried to sound, quote, heavy, were just that, garage bands trying to sound heavy. Black Sabbath really doesn't have much musicianship going for it. In fact, the whole thing just sucks. Don't bother me. Hey, Phil, have you ever heard the expression, taking the Browns to the Super Bowl? This is another way of saying, I'm going to have a BM. Take care and keep up the good work. David G. Hall. Hello, Mr. Hendry. I regret to inform you that Al Michaels will team up with Joe Theismann next season for ESPN's Monday Night Football. I wish I was able to find out what Al Michaels has over the Disney ABC company. They can't be that stupid, can they? Now we'll have two of the biggest egos in sports broadcasting on one telecast than ever. Only problem I got with Al Michaels, I think the guy's a terrific play-by-play guy. I don't understand why it was, to give you an example, they would hire a guy like Dennis Miller only to have Al Michaels try to top everything Miller said. Like, if you're doing play-by-play, there's a reason why everybody talks about Frank Gifford and Don Meredith and all those guys. Gifford knew when to shut up. He did the, okay, first down, and there they go. And the other two guys did the jokes. And that's what Michaels don't get. And that's why your broadcast team, ABC, sucked on ice all those years, and you couldn't figure it out, could you? You couldn't figure it out. You got Al Michaels, and you tried Dan Fouts, and then you tried Boomer Esiason, and then you had Dennis Miller, and then you got John Madden for God knows how much money. And on and on and on it went, and it never occurred to you, lummoxes, that Michaels was the problem. He won't shut up. Just do the play-by-play. Let the other guys do the shtick. Be a better Frank Gifford, because that's what you are, Al. You're Frank Gifford, only you're way better than him, right? Even though Frank's a little bit better looking. But that's all right. Just don't, when you look into the camera, I tell you what, wear a patch over that one eye, will you? What is this crap you're playing?
Yeah.
Phil Howard was talking to Bubba the Love Sponge on Tuesday's show, and Bubba said the following. We had the entire industry on their ear yesterday, and any a-hole in this country, with the exception of the real honest ones like Phil and some of the good guys out there, but every other hater out there that's going to be like, oh, you know, Howard went from 22 million, he's got a 3 million cum at best now, and they're paying him all the money. It's all because the bottom line is they would love to be here and have the freedom that we have at these facilities. I mean, they're all just a bunch of D words. I know you and Howard know each other, and Howard's made some nice comments about you on his show, but I don't know how, I don't know about Bubba. I can't think of another Phil Hendry on the radio, so I guess it was you. Great show as always, Mr. Henry. Jason, did Bubba say that on his show, or Howard was talking to Bubba on his show? I think Bubba the Love Sponge is a fan of our show. And the guy must be ecstatic because he's over there on the Sirius right now. And that was a nice thing for him to say. Well, look, I'll just repeat what I said. The guy is the phenom of the century in radio, other than, you know, Marconi and Arthur Godfrey. There was Marconi, Arthur Godfrey, and then Howard Stern. The rest of it is just so much fodder for the wood chipper. And when the biggest thing to hit radio in years leaves terrestrial radio and goes to a satellite company, terrestrial radio, what is it? What do you call that, folks? In other words, let me ask something. Hi, we're the San Francisco 49ers, yeah, and we are in the middle of a Super Bowl run, right? Well, Joe Montana, we're just going to let him go to the Canadian Football League. Because they're never going to make any money up there with him. Why would you do that? You're winning Super Bowls. Because the guy is he's just wrong for us, man. We just don't dig the whole thing that he does, you know? But he's winning freaking Super Bowls for you. He's bringing in money. Well, you know what? Joe Montana, his whole thing is going out. That whole scrambling style. You know, that whole throwing on the run thing that he did. the catch bull crap. Are you crazy, dude? Wouldn't you say that? Well, you've just heard an example of what has actually happened in the radio business. Oh, well, Howard Stern, we'll survive without him. I happen to know right now that the puddles of urine forming under the slacks of some executives over the fact that Stern's gone and they are sucking with that David Lee Roth. Forgive me. But they are. Nothing against David. He's not a broadcaster. He's a rock and roll. The freaking guy does the splits in the air, man. You know what I'm saying? Cat's not on a radio. It's a whole other thing, baby, doing a radio show. You don't put David Lee Roth in here any more than you stick Joe Walsh in here. I'm going to try to bake Joe Walsh. Oh, for God's sake, that guy. What do you think? In other words, what people are trying to tell me is putting Joe Walsh on the air, it's amusing to listen to a man who has dipsomania. Is that it? Hey, let's go get a bum out of the alley. Any alcoholic will do, and put him on the air. You see the respect that the people who are in the radio business have for the industry that they work in? So if they got that kind of respect for the talent that works in it, they're going to bring David Lee Roth in or some guy off some guy that's doing the night train, the fortified stuff, you know, some guy that went in and got himself some of that Thunderbird for 69 cents, and then he's on his way over to the radio station. Why would you think they're going to hold on to the biggest moneymaker in the history of the planet Earth as far as radio goes, Howard Stern? They're going to let that guy go. Because they haven't got the guts to confront the FCC. If they had, if they'd sued the FCC, if they'd challenged the FCC's legal right to regulate speech, if they showed the talent that works for them, that they are behind them, and that they are not in collusion with a federal agency like the FCC, they would hold on to a cat like Howard Stern. And there are other people who are big stars or will be big stars in this business, and they're all going to leave, man. They're going to go over to satellite. This is the first time in the history of radio that the talent has leverage. The talent has leverage. It used to be they pay anything that they wanted to pay you, and what are you going to do? You're going to go to your union? Union, God bless AFTRA, but they're good for the 10% raise a year, whatever it is. But now, talent has real leverage. And the facts are these. Either you get with it and you get to the real heart of the problem, which is the FCC overstepping its constitutional bounds regulating speech, or you don't, or you just keep on taking it in the shorts, man, until you're just toweling off and there's just a, ooh, just a wee bit of blood there on it. This has been Letters to Phil, and that's me on the violin. I just always like to point these things out. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Former closer Rich Goose Gossage isn't too happy that he failed to win election into baseball's Hall of Fame, according to a report in the New York Post. Hello, I'm Dennis DeYoung of Styx, and it's time for Yankee Baseball. Goose Gossage apparently received 336 votes, which is short of the 390 needed for election. The Goose was understandably upset. He said, quote, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I'm at a loss for words. I'm at a loss for words. I'm not lost for words. I'm at a loss for words. Pardon me, I didn't get that correct. Gossage, a former Yankee fireballer, seems angry that he failed to get into the Hall of Fame, despite the fact that he has, among other things, more career saves, more victories and strikeouts than Suter, who's a friend of his. I like Bruce Suter, said Goose Gossage. He deserved it. I was hoping Suter and I could go in together, you know, a kind of a buddy thing, a team thing. I actually hate his guts, but I wanted it to look good in print. Let's listen, shall we, to Styx as we continue with our Goose Gossage report. Anyway, Goose Gossage went on to say, I am pissed. I feel like hitting Ron Say in the head again with a fastball. Oh, my God, if I just was on the mound one more time and it was the World Series, I'd aim directly for Bud Selig's head, said Gossage, unquote. My voice doesn't sound like that anymore since I've gotten older and I smoke a lot. I can't hit those high notes. Gossage also feels badly for peers such as Rice. Are they talking about Jim Rice? Andre Dawson and Bert Blyleven, all of whom were left on the outside looking in. One of the problems with Andre Dawson, of course, is he played many years with just the most pathetic franchise in the history of the planet Earth, the Montreal Expos. Bert Blyleven is another interesting guy. Yeah, he, you know, threw the ball hard, won some games, but his whole act just sucked. He was on ball clubs that had good hitters. You didn't know where Bert Blyleven left off and the rest of the team began. Rice, if they're talking about Jim Rice, they're right. That guy belongs in. I don't know if you ever saw Goose Gossage in action, man, but I saw him hit Ron Say in the head with a fastball in the 81 World Series. That anybody here in L.A., you guys, if you were around during the 81 series, you're watching the series, you know what I'm talking about. He's on the mound, and back in those days, the guys still wore those half helmets, you know? I call them half helmets. It was just a... Who knew? You know, you put a helmet on and it covers the top half of your head, but not necessarily your ears. Now you see those helmets that cover the cheek. It's because of Ron Say, really, that they began to enforce the use of that full sort of face covering helmet. Now, there are a lot of guys that got hit in the kisser before Ron Say. Tony Conigliaro took one right off the face. And nobody gave a crap about any kind of a helmet to protect him because, well, he was with the Red Sox, and they had Yastrzemski, and they, you know, maybe wanted to thin him out a little bit. I don't know. But anyway, he wound up, man, and he hit Say with that thing, and Say went down like a ton of bricks. And I remember Gossage staring in and not leaving the mound because it's the World Series. But after the game, he did go in to see how Say was. He felt terrible about it. Say was all right because the ball hit half helmet, half head. But you know that penguin waddle that everybody knows about? Say he goes around the bases. That's why he waddles, because he took that head hit. Other than before that, he was like a Jesse Owens sprinter. But once he took it in the head, it just kind of waddled around the bags. But he still could hit like a crazy man. By the way, Bert Blyleven had 60 complete game shutouts. Randy Johnson only has 30. Well, Johnson ain't going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's too ugly. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
More from Goose Gossage. Here's what he said. He didn't get into the Hall of Fame. Goose Gossage pitched for the Yankees through the late 70s, early 80s. He says, quote, hitting in a game is no different than hitting in a home run contest, Gossage said. It ticks me off to say Barry Bonds is the greatest hitter. He's playing in a wussy era. The game is soft. You never get thrown at today. Last thing a hitter has to worry about today is getting hit. The first thing Hank Aaron had to worry about is, am I going to survive this at bat because I'm black? No kidding, man. Guy gets up there, hi, I'm black. Well, I guess the next one's coming at your head, isn't it? Thank you. So very deeply. Well, Goose, that's a very, I think, very accurate comments. I think very timely comments, but you still suck. No, you were good. You should go in. But what the hell? What are you going to do, man? Jim Rice ain't in there? If Rice ain't in there, you ain't in there. No way do you go in. Rice goes in before you, Goose. Jesus. You ever heard the guy talk?
This is a bunch of crap.
Goose Gossage.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.